Amen. Praise God. All I did was praise him, and he did the work. So all that's left for us to do is to praise him. It's my prayer this morning that we may see more of the fullness of the riches of the glory of his grace, and that song powerfully put it. I'm going to start in an odd spot, maybe, for a sermon on Ephesians. I want to start with John 11, and there's a very interesting story there that has fascinated me for a long time. It's a story about a good friend of Jesus who fell very ill, sickly ill, ill to death, and when Jesus heard about it, he didn't go. He waited 4 days. He allowed his friend to die. For the people there at that time, that was unbelievably hard. But when Jesus came, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him, let him go." I've often wondered what it would have been like to be there that day when they told him, don't open the tomb. He's already begun to rot. It's going to stink. What are you doing? What it would have been there like that day when all the people around were crying and mourning, loud lamenting, and Jesus said, come forth, and this man walked out alive. And all these witnesses saw it. And all their jaws are hanging open. What would have been like that day to be a witness of that event? And the glory that was to Jesus' name that this man lived again. But I had one other question in my mind. What would it have been like to be Lazarus? I mean, the last thing you remember is you're horribly sick. You're in pain and suffering, and it goes dark. And the next thing you hear is somebody calling your name, "Lazarus, come forth." And you wake up, and everything's obscured, and there's some light, and you kind of stumble, you know, out. What would that have been like? To be Lazarus. The interesting thing is the scripture doesn't tell us much more about his life. I wonder what he did with the rest of his life. How did he think about those years given to him as a gift when he found out he had died and been brought back to life? What did he think about that life he now had to live? Well, you actually shouldn't wonder. This shouldn't puzzle you at all. If Ishmael asked you to ask your neighbor, "Have you made Jesus Lord of your life?" and you answered yes, Lazarus' story is your story. This is your life. We want to take a look at Ephesians chapter 2 today, and there are some hard things there. Some really unpleasant things that we really struggle to get a hold of and grasp as a culture and as people and as individuals. But if we can really grasp the fact that we're dead, then we can begin to live in joy to the glory of God and newness of life. So I want to go there. But before we do, I'm just going to take a second and pray again and ask for the Spirit to be with us this morning. Father, I want to thank you and praise you so much for your Spirit and its presence here this morning, for calling and drawing us to yourself. And I thank you so much for your word and the hope and the power that's there. I ask you by your Spirit to speak that hope and power this morning into the minds and hearts of everyone gathered here. And I'll give you the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week, I took a look at the end of, let's see if I can get there, chapter 1, in which Paul gave a prayer for the church. He loved the Ephesus church. He ministered there for years. He founded that church. He cared deeply about these people, and he gave them a prayer, his prayer for them, which I offer to you as a model for your prayer life. And I hope that this last week you were praying